Time for our monthly MoDOT segment on Quicksland this morning. Area engineer Brian Hafner joins me right now. What would MoDOT want for Christmas?
Well, let's start with let's avoid some of the winter weather that we've had for the past few years over the Christmas holidays. How about that?
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were going to go funding. You didn't go funding on me there.
Well, you know, that's a question for Missourians. What do they want to see on their roads? So,
what do we do now? So on the defeat of, were you surprised it went down as large as it did?
A little bit, I would say. But, you know, we live in a somewhat conservative state, and folks don't like paying taxes, and that's just part of the deal that we have to live with. So, mm-hmm. You know, as far as what does MoDOT do now, it really doesn't change anything for us. We still have the same funding that we had on November 5th, so we're going to continue to do everything that we can with the resources that we have to provide a good transportation system. So, you know, the funding issue does impact the way that we do basically all of our operations. So, you know, we're doing the best that we can to spend those resources wisely.
All right. If our listeners care to ask a question or give us a solution to MoDOT's funding dilemma, you're welcome to give us a call. Brian will be with us for about 15 minutes here, 263-2424. Or you can call 800-892-2300, and we welcome your phone calls here this morning. So, on the heels of, say, our blizzard that we had over the weekend, you do have to be, I guess, strategic, that maybe that's not the right term, in how you attack roads. Certainly you have to go after the main roads, but on the subject of funding, does that come into play on something like clearing roadways?
Oh, sure it does. You know, we have over the past years changed some of the ways that we work with our winter operations, you know, trying new materials, the beet juice, things like that, that we've added into our toolkit. But there certainly are funding decisions that go into how we treat roads and how we prioritize and those kind of things. So, you know, the winter weather that we've just had, I know that some folks have been concerned about, well, how long does it take you to get out and clear all the roads? Well, there are, you know, resource limitations on how fast we can get things done. We've got a certain number of people, a certain number of snow plows to be able to do that work. I think even here in our Moberly shed, we had a couple of trucks that were down going into that storm, which impacts the way that we can treat the roads. If we've got 10 trucks working out of that building and two of them are not functioning at that point, you know, that's going to take a little bit more time. And then you look at how we prioritize the snow removal operations, the winter operations. And obviously, we're going to spend more time and resources on Highway 63 and Highway 24, those main arteries that keep our people going to work and that kind of thing. We cannot spend as much time and resources on the blacktop roads, the lettered routes, that, you know, those are still important. There are still ways that people have to be able to get into town to get to work or to get to the hospital, but we simply can't afford to do the same kind of things on those roads that we do on the main roads. So in our winter operations, those lower volume roads are not going to see treatment for the whole length of the road. They're going to get salt on the hills and the curves and the intersections, those places where it's really important that, you know, if somebody's coming up to a stop sign, they need to be able to stop. If they're going around a curve, need to be able to navigate that successfully, but we just can't afford to treat the whole road.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to get bladed, and then I guess you got to decide, okay, how much additional treatment that I put on a blacktop.
Right, and then the other thing with a lot of our blacktops is they're not, the asphalt that we use on those is a different, it's a cold mix asphalt. It doesn't hold together as well as some of the hot mix that we might use on a higher volume road, and if you plow that too much, in addition to taking off the snow, then you're taking off the surface, mm-hmm. which just causes you more problems again next spring when things start to thaw out and then you don't have as much of a base there to work with anymore.
This storm was a little unique in the fact that it was so warm on the surface before it arrived. Then we had the rain. Then we had the heavy snow on top of it. Then you had the refreezing and you had clumps of ice. So was that a challenge for your crews?
It's definitely a challenge, especially, you know, you mentioned the rain beforehand. That means that we can't get out and pre-treat because any salt that you put down then just gets washed away. Mm-hmm. And then the refreeze, the winds, high winds, drifting snow, all those things complicate and make it more difficult to keep the roads cleared and you know, coming back out to try to plow off those snow drifts and things like that. It takes more time. And again, with limited resources, it's a challenge every time we get some kind of winter event. But, you know, I do want to say that the guys that we have out there working on the roads here in the Moberly building and elsewhere around our district and around the state, those folks are working, you know, they're working 12-hour shifts to try to keep things going. They're working hard, and it's a difficult, challenging job.
All right, we have a phone call. You're on the air with Brian. You got a question or comment?
Well, it's kind of a comment, but it surprises me that I hear people on the comment show, you know, complaining about people out there weed eating along the highway. I know up here by my house, it's prisoners that's actually doing that. So is most of the people that's out there along the highway weed eating and mowing and things, are those prisoners or those highway workers? Or what? I can't understand why they complain about it, you know.
Are you familiar, Brian, with what he's talking about?
Well, yeah, we do have some incarcerated crews that come out and help us with some aspects
so
of
you
keeping
do partner,
our roads clear.
Partner with the prisons? Okay.
We do. We've got some folks out of the Moberly prison here, out of Bowling Green, okay. Vandalia, different places that allow us to use. There's not a lot of them available. That, you know, that it depends on those prisoners and their behavior and that kind of thing. They have to be able to be trustworthy. We've got a supervisor for each of those crews, and they'll go out and do some of the weed eating around guardrails and things mm-hmm. like that, do some of the smaller mowing, cutting brush. We get some pretty good work out of those incarcerated crews.
Very good.
Yeah, I know that for several years it's been prisoners up here doing long while I'm at, but and yesterday somebody was really surprised me. They was, I guess that's county, but they was complaining about mowing along the gravel roads, which really surprised me that they would complain about something like that.
Yeah, that would be a county thing.
That would be, you know, but the counties are facing the same kind of funding challenges
sure.
that we are. Right. You mentioned the failure of Prop D. That would have provided more funding to the cities and counties to maintain their roads and streets as well. You know, they like I say, they face the same funding challenges we do, and they're going to have to do the same kinds of things. Talking about mowing, we've cut back on how often we mow.
I know. I used to mow, you know, all the time. You know, yeah, that's cut way, way, way back.
Yeah. Right. And that's all about, you know, conserving those resources to make sure that we can continue to keep our roads and bridges in good shape.
All right. Hey, thanks for your observation and your call here on Quicksland this morning. You're welcome to give us a call, too. Well, let's get back to Proposition D. I think the one thing that I've heard from listeners, Brian, is there was too much built into the issue. And maybe it was confusing. Yeah, I mean, do you think that if we just narrowed it down to just this four roads and that was the only thing we were voting on, you think it might make a difference? And is that even possible?
That could have made a difference. And, I do want to thank the legislators for at least getting something on the ballot that would have provided funding for transportation. It's been a discussion in Jeff City for several years. There was a task force that came out and studied the issue and made recommendations, and a lot of what was in Proposition D came as a result of those recommendations. Talking with people personally, I know that the language was confusing to some folks, and it's complicated in how the patrol and MoDOT are funded. And, you know, they come out of the same bucket. So any funding that was in Prop D that was said to be for law enforcement would have just freed up other money that went to the roads and bridges. And that's a difficult thing to get across to folks. And I think that's maybe part of why, you know, some folks want to make our roads and bridges better, but they don't care as much about funding law enforcement, or vice versa. So whichever way you do it is...
Do the two have to go hand in hand?
Do they have to? No, I don't. If you wanted to put something on the ballot just to say we're going to raise fuel taxes for specifically roads and bridges, the legislators could do that. They chose this route. It didn't work. Maybe they'll try something again in the future. I don't know. That's going to be up to our elected officials down in Jersey.
I mean, we had people calling in worried about natural gas prices going up or propane prices going up and... you know, some of the other language, which we had Scott Chardon on, who tried to explain some of the issues, but I don't know if it just got muddied up and people didn't understand. And certainly it's their prerogative to vote no.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's up to Missourians on how they want to fund transportation. The issue is, and kind of the main reason, the whole reason that Prop D was out there is because the funding for our transportation system has not been increased since the early 90s. And so we're working on that same funding stream that we had almost 30 years ago. And with inflation, that just means that there's less things, less steel, less concrete, less asphalt that we can buy to take care of roads and bridges. And, you know, inflation's not going away. And it's going to continue to eat at every year our purchasing power. And so each year we're going to be able to do less and less. And if, you know, at some point we'll get to the point where Missourians say, okay, that's enough, we have to do something. I don't know when that point is, but there will come a time when, you know, bridges are closed. If you remember back in the mid-2000s, I-70 was just pothole from one end of the state to the other. We fixed that, but we can't continue to put Band-Aids on I-70 and on these other roads around the state. It's going to become an issue at some point.
Yeah. I'm curious what the legislature will do in the new session. You hearing anything? I mean, maybe they'll at least take advantage. I think they can raise 2 cents, right, or something like that, possibly?
Well the legislature could do a 2 cent fuel tax increase without running into that Hancock Amendment.
Right.
I don't know what appetite there is in Jeff City to do that or anything else related to transportation yet. It's kind of early. You know, we've got the freshman legislator orientation that's kind of going on right now where some of those new folks coming in are traveling around the state and learning more about different parts of the state. So we'll see as things go on here through the course of the next few months on what happens in Jeff City.
Are we losing federal dollars because our funding levels are where they are right now?
We're not yet. But again, you know, if something doesn't happen on the state level, and it, you know, it depends on what happens at the federal level too. Their current federal transportation bill includes some general revenue funding to keep that propped up because the Highway Trust Fund has been insolvent in the past, and so there's not enough fuel taxes going into that trust fund to keep it at the level that it is today. Whether there's an appetite to continue to do that or not, or to increase funding for transportation on the federal level, or if that's going to decrease. So if things stayed the same, then there'd come a point where we wouldn't have enough state funds to match federal funds, but it's hard to predict the future on that level too. So federal funding goes down, then it's easier for us to match what we could get.
Sure. Brian Hafner with me here for just a few more minutes. Let's touch on a local project, Double E Bridge. Where is that project east of Moberly?
That bridge is just about completed, should open up hopefully next week, get traffic back on Double E. And again, you know, all those things go back to funding. There's been years, 20 years ago, where we may have been able to do a temporary bypass on a road like that to try to keep traffic going. Nowadays, when we replace a bridge, we have to shut down the road, or in this case, rehabilitate, put a new deck on it. So the road out there has been closed for a couple months now, but that's just part of the way that we have to do business with the funding that we have today and save those. You know, instead of putting a temporary bridge in there, we were able to put two new bridge decks on Route Double D and Double E. We couldn't have done both of those if we had to put a temporary bridge in on one or the other. So trying to make those wise decisions, use our resources wisely. We know that does impact the folks that drive those routes every day. We want to thank them for their patience. You know, it does impact and make them go farther around, have to drive on roads that they're maybe don't want to drive on for a short period of time. But that's just the way we have to do things now.
Yeah. And then finally, I just looked at 9 inches. That's what our total of snowfall was for the month of November, 9 inches of snow. And are you stocked up for the winter, or the early start with the snow concern you any?
It's, like I said, our Christmas wish list includes have no more snow until maybe May or so it all goes away quickly. But we're ready to take on the storms. We do have some salt supplies still coming in. We'll do the best that we can with whatever Mother Nature throws at us.
Almanac still says we're going to have a warmer, milder winter. So
let's keep our fingers crossed.
I guess he didn't talk about fall. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Brian Hafner, area engineer, joining me on our MoDOT segment.